Morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is Kuf Dalad. We are on Kuf Gimel. Kuf Gimel, Amud Aleph, towards the bottom. We're going to be starting towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be starting today with a Gemara's description of the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNafi. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lenas Dechon Nesumas Libik Arvela Bashmuel. We are approximately three quarters down on the Amud. We start today with the words Tana Rabbanan. Okay, so towards the end of the line, the beginning of the line is Chitin. Gemara starts off, Tana Rabban, B'shat Peter HaSosha Rebbe. So at the death of Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda HaNafi, needless to say, just from a historical perspective, is the end of the period of the time and the beginning of the period of the Moraim. Now, obviously, at the time when Rebbe lived, obviously, they didn't, you know, I don't know if they viewed themselves that way, but in other words, he really closed the chapter in Torah Shabbat Peh, and that he was... No, we did those yesterday.
We did that.
Okay. So he closes a chapter in Torah Shabbat Peh where he's the editor, the grand editor of the Mishnayos, and so obviously the Mishnayos itself is not going to give us a picture of his death, but the Gemara, however, is going to quote Bryce's Toseftas that are going to give us a description of his death. Some of the events that the Gemara is going to tell us are going to be amazing, and these Gemaras have a certain amount of popularity, and whatever, we'll try to speak out as much as we can in the course of these Gemaras. B'shat Peter HaSosha Rebbe, at the time when Rebbe is dying, Amar Levanai Nitzarech. So he calls out for his children, for his sons. Nichnus of Banav Etzlo. So his sons come in to greet him, and now he's going to give them a tzava, last will and testament. So he says to them as follows. Number one, Amar Lai Mizar Bechvodimchem. So I want you to be careful with the honor of your mother. In other words, I'm going to die, I'm no longer going to be here, and I need you to honor your mother. The Gemara momentarily is going to ask the question, that's a mitzvah in the Torah. Hard to imagine that Rebbe, at the time of his death, is going to need to instruct his children to observe the Torah. So the Gemara is going to ask that question momentarily. Ner Yehei Dalek Bim Kamo. Also, make sure that after I die, I still have a candle lit in my spot. Okay, because I'll be back. Well, for reasons you'll understand in just a moment. Shulchan Yehi Aruch Mim Kamo. The table should be set even after I die. My spot should be set. And Mita Tei Mutsas Bim Kamo. And as far as the bed is concerned, the bed should be made as well. So Yosef Chafni Shimon Efrati. So he identified two people, two of his students, Yosef and Shimon. Heim Shem Shemuni Bechayev, Heim Shem Shemuni Bimosi. So they served me while I lived, and they also going to serve me after I die as well. And again, that's going to be clarified in just a moment exactly what that means. So step by step now, the Gemara is going to take a break away from the Braisa and going to explain some of these instructions that Rebbe was giving to his children. Number one, he's Zeru Bechvodimchem. So number one, he says, I need you to be careful about honoring your mother. So Daraisa, so the Gemara says that's a mitzvah Daraisa. And Rebbe does not have to instruct his sons to keep the Torah. That already is being covered. And so Rebbe doesn't need to, and if Rebbe just wants to keep the Torah, just simply say keep the Torah. But why? Honor your mother. Okay, it's one of the Aseret HaDibros. Number five. So Eishes Av Havai. So the Gemara starts off by saying like this. This was not their mother. It was their stepmother. It was presumably a second marriage. And so it was a description of a stepmother. So the Gemara says Eishes Av Havai Namidah Reisvi. Honoring a stepmother is also a mitzvah in the Torah. Detanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Kabbalah Savicha Ve'asimecha. Should honor your father and your mother. And now we have the word S. It's a good trick, by the way, or a good challenge. Try to ask anyone to translate the word S. It's very difficult. It doesn't translate well into English. The word S is it's a ribui. In other words, throughout the Torah, whenever you see the word S, that comes to include somebody. So over here, who is the S coming to include? So the S is a ribui. It's coming to include the wife of your father, meaning a woman who's not your mother, but she's married to your father, stepmother. And as far as your mother's concerned, the S is coming to include the husband of your mother, so your stepfather. So you have a mitzvah in the Torah to honor them as well. Seems pretty clear from the Gemara that when you have an S is teaching us an additional person, it's not just a mitzvah derabbanan, it's actually a mitzvah d'oraisa. This point over here is subject to a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not this is in of itself, honoring your step-parents is a mitzvah d'oraisa. A mitzvah derabbanan. Okay, not for now, but in general, it's a general point which generally needs to be fleshed out. When you have a ribui like this, are we talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa or is it a mitzvah d'rabbanan? The simple pshat within our gemara is that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So imcha vav yisera, and there's one additional vav as well. In other words, the pasuk reads kabez es avicha v'es imecha. So that additional vav, what is that coming to teach us? The rabbi says achicha gadol. Also, there's a mitzvah to honor your oldest brother as well. Now, I said oldest brother. There's a discussion about older brother versus oldest brother. There's a discussion about older sister versus older brother. But in the meantime, however, let's just stay within the context of the Gemara. So, again, Rebbe's giving instructions to his kids to honor their mother. So now we clarified it's not their biological mother, it's their stepmother. But even after clarification, still there's a mitzvah to honor your stepmother. So again, what's Rebbe telling his sons? So the Gemara says like this. Yes, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to honor your stepmother, but as long as dad's alive. Meaning honoring your stepmother is really a function of honoring your father. And once your father's no longer alive, so obviously be nice to her. That's not the point. The point is that there's no mitzvah, there is no specific mitzvah of honoring her as a parent. Because your mitzvah to honor her is only a function of honoring your father. Honor your father and honor his significant other. Honor his wife. Honor your mother and honor her significant other. Honor her husband. Once the biological parent is dead, so then the mitzvah in the Torah goes away. That's exactly what happened over here. And that's why Rebbe had to give special instruction to his son, take good care of this woman, even though she's not your biological mother, even though the mitzvah of honoring your stepmother is gone once I'm gone, still take special care of her. Next. I want everything to be set for me. Meaning after I die, make sure that I still have light, so make sure my place is set at the table, and make sure that my bed is set. So my time, so the Gemara says that every Erev Shabbos, so he would go home, even after he died. Now, okay, we are entering into a world where I struggle because I'm only limited in terms of what I can explain over here. But basically, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was given a hall pass, right? He was, in other words, even after he went on to the Olam HaEmes, but he still had access to come back to this world, and so he came back on Erev Shabbos. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara describes Erev Shabbos as Bein HaShemashos, Beis Shimshei. Rashi over here points out, you know, Bein HaShemashos could be any given evening, but Rashi points out that whenever you see the Gemara, you say the word Beis Shimshei, it always is a reference to Erev Shabbos. It's a special Bein HaShemashos, it's not just any Bein HaShemashos. Now, how would Beis Shimshei also Shivvasa? Kakari Abava. Okay, one Erev Shabbos. Now, this was a family secret, if you will, that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi came back home every Friday night, and even after he died. So they kept this within the family, and the Gemara tells a story about a woman, a next door neighbor, who was calling on the door, Amri Amte, and the maidservant of Rebbe said, Shetiku, the Rebbe Asiv. She said to the neighbor, could you please keep it down because Rebbe's trying to concentrate. And came to Shama Shav Lo Asa. But now, once Rebbe heard that, Rebbe never came back. In other words, he didn't want to make a big deal about it. It was something that he wanted to do just within the confines of his family. He didn't want this information to become public. How come I'm telling everyone right now? Because it's in the Gemara. Okay, anyway, that's... And the reason why he didn't want people to know, says the Gemara, is because now Rebbe was given a hall pass. Rebbe was allowed entrance and exit back into this world even after he died. There's no other tzaddikim historically were able to do that. And so when Rebbe's given that hall pass, so what does it say about all the previous tzaddikim that lived before the Rebbe? So he didn't want to make anyone feel bad. So therefore Rebbe stayed on his side. Yosef, Chafni, and Shimon Efrati, Hem Shishon, Rechaim, Hem Shishon, and Bemosi. Another point of instruction that he gave to his sons is that he identified two of his students and he said, they're going to serve me after, they served me well while I was alive, and they're going to serve me after I die as well. Okay, now, that instruction, what was that meant to be? So, Savrimina, Bahadina, Mahudakamar. So, the simple pshat was, in other words, in this world, meaning, I'm going to die, someone's going to have to take care of my kvura. So, I'm identifying these two students really attended to me well while I was alive. So, as a last respect, so they're going to take care of me after I die, meaning they're going to take care of the funeral. So, the burial. Came to Chazda de Kamar Sarlar say, however, we now realize that we have to reinterpret what Rebbe said. Why? Because they died before he did. Okay, so obviously Rebbe could not have meant that they're going to take care of my kfura because they predeceased Rebbe. So now what? So Amrei Shmamina Lahu Amahu Dekamar. So what Rebbe meant was not in this world. In this world, in other words, they served Rebbe, but they died before Rebbe did. But in the next world, they're going to continue to serve Rebbe. V'hai Damar Hachi. So good. So they're going to serve Rebbe in the next world. Okay, to the extent that we can understand that. Good. What is Rebbe telling his children? Meaning, okay, that's great. But that's not information. There's no instruction that Rebbe has to give to his children, meaning make sure that you know that they're going to serve me in the Olam HaEmes. Okay, that's great, but why do the children have to know that? The Gemara goes on to explain. Because I might have thought the following. You see, they died before Rebbe did. So what does that mean? So it could be interpreted to mean that they did not have zichuyos. And the only thing that was keeping them alive was Rebbe. And as Rebbe was expiring, so they died as well, because the only thing keeping them alive was Rebbe. So Rebbe just wanted to clarify, he wanted to help the reputation and say no. In other words, the reason why they died when I died has nothing to do with me and me keeping them alive based on my zechuyos, but the reason why they're kept alive is the reason why they died before me is because they're going to serve me not only in this world, but they're going to serve me in the Olam HaEmes as well. Now we're back to the Braisa. And now within the Braisa, more description of the last moments of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So he says, I need the Chachmei Yisrael. Nichnasu atzal Chachmei Yisrael. So in comes Chachmei Yisrael. Amar lehem al tisbeduni ba'ayaros. Don't eulogize me in the ayaros. Yaros are cities. Cities, now basically when we describe cities, so in our modern view, there's like a suburb, there's a suburbia, and there's a city. From the Gemara's perspective, there were basically three levels. There was an Ayaros, there were Kfarim, and there were Krachim. Krachim were the biggest. Krachim were like big metropolis. Kfarim are the smallest villages. So you remember the Mishnah in the beginning of Megillah, right? The Kfarim, the villagers, so they didn't even have a minyan, they couldn't read the Megillah, so they would have to go to the cities in order to hear Megillah. So Kfarim are really out of town. And the Krachim are the big cities, and the Ayaros are somewhere in the middle. Ayaros are cities, but not these big metropolises. So, Amal Nechachmei Yisrael, So his instruction to Chachmei Yisrael was, Al Tisbeduni Ba'ayaros. Don't eulogize me within the Ayaros. Okay. Now, we're going to explain that better in just a moment. Back now, we're at the top of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. V'hoshiva yeshiva l'achar shloshim yom. I want the yeshiva to resume after 30 days. Meaning, he understood, it was not a question of gaiva, of bragging, of arrogance. He just understood that that his death is going to result in a tremendous loss to the Jewish people. And he understood that they're going to eulogize and they're going to spend a lot of time eulogizing. So basically his instruction was to Chachmei Yisrael, let's put a limit to how much eulogy is going to be happening over my death. He said, after 30 days, I want the yeshiva to resume. Shimon b'ni Chacham, and then he tells Chachmei Yisrael, here are going to be the appointments. My son Shimon is a Chacham. Now that doesn't sound like an appointment. Just sounds like a description. It sounds like an adjective. Stay tuned, because we're going to come back to that. Gamliel b'ni Nasi. My son Gamliel is going to be the Nasi. So in other words, he is appointing now the next leader of the Jewish people. Rav Yehuda Nasi was the leader of the Jewish people. You kind of know that because it's built into his name. I mean, Rav Yehuda HaNasi, he was the leader. So he's appointing now his son Gamliel to be the next in line. And Chanina Bar Chama Yoshe Barosh. And Chanina Bar Chama will be the Rosh Yeshiva. So it's interesting. So two interesting points. Number one is that the first son that he identified, it's not an appointment, it's just simply a description, which the Gemara itself is going to touch upon. Number two is that basically he created a division of power, meaning that he set up Gamliel to be the head of the Jewish people, and he set up Chanina Bar Chama to be the Rosh Yeshiva. So in other words, the Rosh Yeshiva and the head of the Jewish people are going to be two separate positions, when presumably Rebbe held both of those positions, presumably. There was a period in history where the Zugos, where you saw that there was a division of power between the Nasi and the Av Beis Din. But over here, we're talking about the Rosh Yeshiva and the Nasi. Okay, anyway. Okay, so that was the Braisa. That was more of the Braisa. So once again, the Gemara is now going to take a significant pause and go on to discuss some of the points that we just discussed in the Braisa. Altas beduna ba'ayara. So his instruction to Chachmei Yisrael was, do not eulogize me in the mid-sized cities, but rather go to the big cities. Now they thought it was an issue of tircha, meaning that it would... It'd be onerous for people to have to come. So, however, once they saw that the hesped occurred in the Karachim, in the big metropolis, and everybody came in order to hear his eulogy, so his instruction was because of honor. Now, not because of his own honor, but because Kavod HaTorah. In other words, a tremendous Kavod HaTorah that's going to take place, as you have a Gadol Shel Yisrael, really the leader of the Jewish people, who was a Nifter. And so, therefore... The hesped that occurred in the big city was there to just augment the amount of cover that there was for this Gadol Shel Yisrael. Hoshiva yeshiva la'achar 30 yom. Next thing he instructed was that I want yeshiva to resume after 30 days. The lo adifna me Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, I should be no greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Dichsiv ayivku b'nei Yisrael Moshe ba'arvos malav 30 yom. So the amount of time that the Jewish people mourned the death of Moshe was 30 days. So talsin yom and staftin. So the Gemara goes on to describe that after the death of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, so they eulogized for 30 days. Be Yamam of Alayla, both day and night. Mikan ve'elech. Now, after 30 days, so they wanted to continue eulogizing. So Rabbi knew exactly what was going to happen. He predicted this perfectly. And so, but his instruction was very clear. Shiva should resume after 30 days. So Mikan ve'elech safta b'yamama v'garsi b'layla. Oh, safta b'layla v'garsi b'yamama. So there were still eulogies continuing after 30 days, but as per Rebbe's instructions, learning did occur. Either eulogies at night, learning during the day, eulogies during the day, learning at night. But in other words, they did not go around the clock eulogizing after 30 days. Ad safta treisa yachayshasa. And this continued for the conclusion of the year, and then after that, seemingly, there was no formal eulogizing anymore. Hahu yumadash kavase the Rebbe nafke bas kolam the Amra. On the day of the death of Rebbe, the following bas kol came out and said, kol dahave ba'ashkavate the Rebbe. Anyone who was there at the funeral of Rebbe, mezuman hu lechayom haba, is going to get a portion in the world of olam haba. Tosfos is bothered by a very simple question. Kol Yisrael yishlam chelak olam haba. The Mishnah Sanhedrin that says everyone receives a portion of the world to come. So Tosfos suggests that maybe what's meant over here is that without din, without yisurim, in other words, it'll be a free pass into olam haba. Ha'u kovis kol yuma haba asikame. There was the launderer of Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, and ha'u yuma lo asa, but for whatever reason could not make it to the funeral of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. Came to Shamahachi, and now he missed the funeral of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, and he also missed a free pass. Missed a free pass into Olam Haba. So, Salak le'igra v'nafal ara v'umes. So he went up to the roof, and he fell off the roof, and he died. Now, is it suicide? So the simple reading of the Gemara is it was suicide. It's very hard to imagine, as we're about to see in the Gemara. Let's just read the rest of the Gemara. Yatsa baskal v'amra afu kovis mezuman hu l'chayam haba. So this launder also is going to get a ticket into Olam Haba, and again, like Tosfos, in other words, without the Yisurin and without the Din, he's going to go straight to Olam Haba. Now, if it's suicide, then it's really hard to understand the Gemara, because the Gemara speaks very harshly about someone who commits suicide. Someone who commits suicide is a rotzeach. He's a murderer. The victim is also the murderer. I mean, that's, you know, that's the trick in trying to understand suicide. So it's very hard to imagine. I looked around a little bit. I saw Rav Yaakov Emden suggest that it wasn't actual suicide. It was more like he just went crazy. He went into a total stupor. He fell off the roof. Anyway, but it's although that's not the simple reading of the Gemara, but it's hard to describe this as an actual suicide in the context of this Gemara. Okay, Shimon ben Chacham. Okay, now we're going on. One of the instructions that he told the Chachmei Yisrael is the appointments for the next generation. So he said that my son Shimon is a Chacham. My Kamar. So Gemara asks a very simple question. That's not an appointment. That's an adjective. What is he saying? Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says no. This is how we are supposed to understand Rav Yehuda Nasi. Alpha Pisha Shimon Bini Chacham Gamlu Bini Nasi. So he says, look, I understand that of my son, Shimon is the wisest. I get it. However, Gamliel is going to be the Nasi. Amar Levi Tzrich LaMemar. So Levi says, well, isn't that obvious? Now, why should that be obvious? If you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi says it should be obvious. No, sorry, not yet. Not yet. It's coming, Rashi. I'm sorry, it's coming up. I'm a Levi Tzrich LeMeimar. So is it necessary to say? So I'm Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe Tzricha Lecha Ula Betala Secha. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, Shimon, the son of Rebbe, says, yes, it's necessary, and as much as your impairment is necessary. Meaning, that was a sling. That was a sharp comment that Rabbi Shimon, son of Rebbe, said to Levi. Now, Levi, by the way, lived at the same time as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So he was a student, right, a Talmud, a Chaver. In other words, he was right around that time. So what really Levi was saying was, well, let's see the Gemara, and then I'll come back to the sharp comment. So my kashle, hi krak kamar. So the Gemara says, what would bother Levi? Meaning again, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi appointed Gamliel to be the Nasi. And the Gemara is saying what we're supposed to understand Rabbi Yehuda Nasi to mean was, despite the fact that Shimon was a Chacham, Gamliel is going to become the Nasi. And Levi says, but that's obvious. Why is that obvious? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Hai krak amar. V'esa malacha nasan li Yehoram ki hu abechor. The kingdom was given to Yehoram because he was the oldest. So what do you learn from here? That generally speaking, the malucha is passed on to the oldest of your children. So Gamliel was the oldest of his children.
It's not real malucha.
It's not real malucha, but it's malucha. Meaning,
get their Torah. It's earned by merit. No,
I mean it's a nasi. Nasi is a he's a leader of the Jewish people. So and I mentioned earlier. In other words, the Rosh Yeshiva was given to another one of his sons. So we're talking about the leader of the Jewish people. So the Gemara goes on to explain how mamale makom avosav hu hava. So the Gemara says, look, the oldest son becomes the default next of heir, and he's going to assume the kingdom only when he fills in the shoes of his father. Meaning when it's as evident as possible that this is going to be, he has all the qualities of being a leader. If it's not that apparent, if it's not that evident, then you don't give it to the firstborn, but you give it to the next one after that. I could cite a number of examples in Chumash where we find this, where you don't give it to the oldest if he's not mamale makom. I mean, again, it's not malucha, but you saw that by already going back as far as Yaakov, where he passes over Reuven and Shimon and Levi, and then he gives the malucha over to Yehuda. Yehuda's his fourth child. Okay, so the numbers of examples of this. So for Rabban Gamliel, and mamale makom avosav hava. So the Gemara points out that Rabban Gamliel was not the heir apparent, meaning even though he was the Bechor, he was not the heir apparent because he did not have the leadership qualities. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had to identify him as being the next leader of the Jewish people. Even though he was a Bechor, it was not a Dover Pashan, and that's why I had to point him out. Now, I'll just go back for just a moment to Levi. So Levi made a comment, and Rabbi Shimon Barabi's response to Levi is, we need you and we need your impairment. What does that mean as impairment? So Rashi reminds us, you remember, that Levi was lame. He had great difficulty walking. The Gemara, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, the fifth perek, where the Gemara over there identifies Levi as trying to do kida, like a type of acrobatic maneuver in front of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and the Gemara points out that together with a couple of other things that Levi did, which were questionable, resulted in his lameness. So basically, what Rabbi Shimon Barabi was reminding Levi was that you know. Remember, it's you gotta be careful about what you say. You gotta be careful what you say about Rebbe. In other words, you gotta maintain his honor. Okay, the Rebbe, my time avid hachi. So the Gemara says, okay, now well, let's ask a pretty simple question. Now that we know, the Gemara has told us that empirically, so Gamliel was not the mamale makom. He was not the heir apparent to become the leader of the Jewish people, and yet Rebbe appointed him to be the leader, and that's why he had to identify him as being the leader. Good. It only begs the next question, which is, why was Gamliel chosen to be the leader? So amai avid hachi. So the Gemara says nihi deina mamale makom avosav b'chachma b'yiras chait mamale makom avosav haba. So the Gemara says, in terms of chachma, so Shimon was greater than Gamliel. Shimon, the son of Rabbi Shimon Barabi, was a greater chacham than Gamliel. That part's true. But in terms of Yiras Chet, in terms of fear of sin and the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the fear of heaven, and the awe of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so in that regard, so Rabbi Gamliel was Memale Makom, so he didn't have every aspect of Gedula, but one of the aspects, and the Gemara identifies this as being an extraordinarily important one in terms of being a leader, so that he did have, and as a result of that, Gamliel was made the next leader of the Jewish people. Chanina bar Chama Yesha Berosh. We're up to now the next son. So Chanina bar Chama was appointed the Rosh Hashiva. So Lo Kibo Rabbi Chanina. Now, the Shahaya Rabbi Afaz Gadol Mimenu Shtei Shanim Amechsa. Okay, now, even though Chanina bar Chama was appointed the Rosh Hashiva by Rabbi Yonah Nasi, so he didn't accept it. Why? Because there was another great Talmud Chacham. His name was Rabbi Afas, and he was older than him by 2.5 years. Okay, so Rabbi Chanina, even though he was appointed by Rabbi, so I don't know how really you can decline the offer or the appointment if somebody, you know, if Rabbi told you they're going to be a Rosh Hashiva. So, but apparently you have that option, and he declined becoming the Rosh Hashiva because he felt that somebody was older than him and was just as entitled to the job. Yasser Rabbi Afetz Bereshiv, Yasser Rabbi Chanina Avrai. And so here we get to a very interesting dynamic, and that is that Rabbi Afetz was the Rosh Hashiva, so he was running the yeshiva. He was in the yeshiva, running the yeshiva, and Rabbi Chanina would stay outside of the yeshiva. Okay. Rabbi Chanina, who was the appointed Rosh Yeshiva by Rabbi, but because of his respect, his deference to Rabbi Afas, he stayed outside. So Rabbi Chanina stayed outside the yeshiva. Now, Levi stayed outside as well. In other words, Levi kept Rabbi Chanina company outside the yeshiva. Nachnav Shei the Rabbi Afas. So Rabbi Afas passed away. V'yasa Rabbi Chanina Bereisha. And Rabbi Chanina now assumed the role of being Rosh Yeshiva, as was predicted / appointed by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And so now, after some time, Rabbi Chanina now becomes Rosh Yeshiva. Now Levi's outside by himself. In other words, the way we had it, when after Rebbe's death, we had Rabbi Afas with the Rosh Yeshiva inside, Rabbi Chanina not going inside because, again, he should have been the Rosh Yeshiva, but he deferred, and it would be, I guess, too contentious for him to be inside the yeshiva, so he stayed outside, and Levi was outside with him. And now that Rabbi Afas died, now Rabbi Chanina assumes the position of Rosh Yeshiva, and Levi's all alone outside. So what does Levi do? So, v'kas l'bavo, Levi heads out to Bavo. Okay. You know, after the...
Wait, let me go inside also.
Yeah. So we'll understand a little bit better as we go through the Gemara, just a little bit. But just an observation, a simple one, and that is after the death of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, you start to see the migration from Eretz Yisrael out to Bavel. Two notable examples of this is one we're seeing right now, and that's Levi. Levi already migrated, and the other notable example is Rav. Rav also was learning in Eretz Yisrael together with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, together with Rabbi Chia, and Rav also migrated out to Bavel. So here it's like the beginning, just the seeds of migration. It's like the movement from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. There were still tremendous Chachmei Yisrael stayed in Eretz Yisrael, but like this is like, it's like the beginning of the move.
Where is Rabbi Yochanan in all this? Isn't he like the next one? He's
yeah, I know. He doesn't come up in incidents. I mean,
he's the one who's constantly
right. I don't have it. I don't have it cataloged well in my head. But he doesn't come up. He doesn't come up with Rebbe. I'm not saying that definitively. Yeah, I know. His question's right, but I'm just thinking through. Now. The Gemara tells, it's great. The Gemara says, and this is what was told to Rav. So Rav was given the following pieces of information. This is like a detective story. So the Rav was told the following. You know, a great person came to Narda, and he's lame. And also he says that a woman is allowed to walk out with a klila on Shabbos. Okay, a debated issue in the... fourth perek of Shabbos, where the Gemara over there goes on to discuss that certain ornaments, jewelry can be worn by a woman outside and certain cannot. The Mishnayos and the Gemara over there go through a whole list of things that can and cannot be worn. Kalila, don't ask me, it's some sort of headdress that was worn by the woman. So it was a debated issue whether she can walk out with it on Shabbos or not. The issue is that there was a fear that this is the kind of thing where she would take it off, show it to her friends, forget to put it back on, and carry Birshus HaRabim. Okay, so it was debated whether or not it could be worn on Shabbos outside or not. Obviously, we're describing where there was no Erev. So this particular person that came to Bavel, this is all being described to Rav, so he says, Klila Shari. Okay, so Amar, so Rav now given these three pieces of information, so Rav now put the rest of the story all together. So Shemami na nachnaf shei de Rabbi Afas. So Rav says, okay, got it. I just watched the brain of Rav computing now all this information. Okay, I get it. So Rabbi Afas died, and Rabbi Chanina becomes now the Rosh Yeshiva. V'lo hava Levi en ishlameis of Gabay, and no one was there to sit next to Levi. V'kasa, and that's why Levi came. I got it. All right, good. So in other words, so he basically now put together the rest of the story based on the just few pieces of information that was given to him. So Ve'ema, the Gemara says, now it's interesting. There could have been another conclusion that if as long as Rav is speculating, why not speculate Ve'ema Rabbi Chanina Nach Nafshei? So why couldn't it be the Rabbi Chanina who was still outside the Beis Medrash? Remember, he didn't go inside, so maybe he died. Rabbi Afis Kediyasev Yasev, and Rabbi Afis continues to be the Rosh Yeshiva. And therefore Levi was outside by himself, and so that Levi would then go to Bavel. Why couldn't have that been the conclusion? But that the Gemara says is impossible. Well, it could be that Levi would have gone into the Beis Medrash. He would have become subservient to Rabbi Afas. Okay, whereas Rabbi Chanina would not have. That's number one. And also remember, one of the things that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said is that Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama will become the Rosh Yeshiva. That was one of his last wills and last will. And so, if he said it, it's got to happen. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says, "V'tigzar omer v'yakim lach." Because when a tzaddik says something, it's going to happen. So good. So it had to have been that Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama is going to become the Rosh Yeshiva. So therefore, the way Rav constructed the story in his head, which was the correct construction, is that the only thing that could have happened is that Rabbi Afis died, Rabbi Chanina assumed the position of Rosh Yeshiva, Levi was left outside by himself, and Levi would have gone to Bavel. Okay. V'ha-ha-ha Rabbi Chia. Gemara asks now a really simple question, and that is as follows. Who becomes Rosh Yeshiva after the death of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? So it was first Rabbi Afas, and then it was Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. Okay. What about Rabbi Chia? Rabbi Chia was one of the primary students of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Chia was the Masada Braisos, right? When we think of people within that generation who were, you know, the top students of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so really you should be thinking about Rabbi Chia. Correct. In other words, okay, shouldn't Rav Chia become the Rosh Yeshiva? So the Gemara suggests now Nach Nafshei. Well, maybe it could be the answer to that question is really simple, would be a historical answer, and that is that maybe Rabbi Chia was not alive at the time of the death of Rabbi. The Gemara says, but that's not true. So first of all, a number of statements that just simply do not support this historical answer, that Rabbi Chia was dead by the time of the death of Rabbi. So first of all, Rabbi Chia shed tears at the death of Rabbi. Now, it's interesting. I mean, what's a chiddush over here? Meaning, you would assume so. Right, what's the point of that other than just giving us a historical fact? Okay, I'm just throwing it out there as something to think about. Epoch, so the Gemara says, okay, so maybe we'll take that Bryce and we'll flip it around, meaning that it was Rebbe who cried at the death of Rebbe Chia. So the Gemara says, yeah, but don't we have another Braisa that says that when at the death of Rebbe, Rebbe Chia stated that we no longer have Kedusha. In other words, with the death of Rebbe comes the end of Kedusha. Epoch, the Gemara says, okay, so we could reverse that as well. Meaning at the death of Rebbe Chia, Rebbe said that the Kedusha was gone. Stay tuned, I'm going to come back to this line in just a moment. share with you something that is unbelievable. V'atanya kishachala Rebbe nechnas Rebbe Chia atzlau. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what about this brisa? Rebbe is sick, and in comes Rebbe Chia. Etzlo umatzo shu boche. And Rebbe Chia finds Rebbe crying. Amala Rebbe mimnei mata boche. So Rebbe Chia says to Rebbe, no, you shouldn't be crying. I don't understand why you're crying. V'atanya, the Gemara says, and this is now Rebbe Chia asking Rebbe a question based on a brisa. Okay, and the Gemara speaks over here about various simanim, meaning there are good telltale signs about at the time of death what kind of condition are you in, and based on those conditions, it's telling. So, if you die and you're literally happy, but happy meaning smiling, meaning content, comfortable. So siman yafalo, that's good. Mitocha bechi siman ralo. But if you're crying, that's not good. Panav lamala siman yafalo. Facing up, that's good. Panav lamata siman ralo. Facing down is not good. Panav kalpe am siman yafalo. Facing the people, good. Kalpe akosel siman ralo. Facing the wall, not good. Panav yerokim siman ralo. Faces green, not good. Panav sehuvim v'adumim siman yafalo. Either golden or red, that's good. Meitz b'erev Shabbos siman yafalo. Dying in erev Shabbos is good. Rashi over here, Rashi explains very few of these. Rashi over here explains that dying on Erev Shabbos is good because what are you going to enter when you go to the Olam HaMemes? You're going right into Shabbos. You're going right into Menucha. B'motzei Shabbos Siman Ralo. However, dying on Motzei Shabbos, the Gemara says, no good. Meitz b'erev Yom Kippurim Siman Ralo. Dying right in Erev Yom Kippur, that's no good. B'motzei Yom Kippurim Siman Yafalo. But dying on Motzei Yom Kippur, right after the Mechilas Avonos, that's good. Meitz Mecholim Me'ayim Siman Yafalo. For dying from stomach ailment, excellent. Because most of the tzaddikim have some sort of GI issue, and that's how most tzaddikim go. So, Rebbe Chia, this is all one long question that Rebbe Chia was asking Rebbe. In other words, you shouldn't be crying right now. Should be content. So the Gemara says, "Amarle ana Torah mitzvahs kabachina." So Rebbe's response to Rebbe Chia is, "No, I'm crying over the loss of Torah and mitzvahs. Meaning, I won't be able to do Torah and mitzvahs anymore. That's why I'm crying, having nothing to do with the general context of me dying." Now, Ibai Seima. So once again, now we're in the middle of a question. So once again, what the Gemara is struggling with is, why did Rebbe Chia get the appointment to Rosh Yeshiva? So the Gemara's answer right now, which is still trying to defend, is that, well, Rebbe Chia died before Rebbe. But again, we have another brisa that clearly demonstrates that Rebbe died before Rebbe Chia. So the Gemara says, Ibai Seima Epoch. So again, another way to resolve this question is by looking at this last brisa and just flip it around. It's Rebbe Chia dying and Rebbe coming and visiting him. The Gemara says, look, let's not flip anything around. Meaning, there's just a preponderance of evidence as such that Rebbe died before Rebbe Chia. Okay, which only brings us back to the question. So why wasn't Rebbe Chia appointed as Rosh Yeshiva? So the Gemara's answer is, Rebbe Chia asuk b'mitzvot hava. Rebbe sever lo afgarei. So the Gemara says like this, because Rebbe Chia was involved in the mitzvot. And when you become the leader, so now your ability to focus and concentrate on your own personal spiritual growth is going to be significantly compromised. And so Rebbe Chia was doing mitzvot and they were significant. And so if Rebbe would have appointed him as Rosh Yeshiva, so then that's it. In other words, his ability to perform the mitzvahs would be seriously compromised, and Rebbe didn't want to do that. Now, again, everything over here is obviously within gradations, meaning I'm sure the Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, who did get the appointment, I'm sure he also did mitzvahs as well. But I guess Rebbe Chia had some sort of special merit that he did in terms of doing the mitzvot, and obviously there must have been some sort of special quality to the mitzvot that were done by Rebbe Chia. And the Gemara points out that there was a debate between Rebbe Chanina and Rebbe Chia. Okay, Rebbe Chanina again got the appointment to Rosh Yeshiva. Rebbe Chia didn't, and now the Gemara says, but now in the context, you certainly understand. Rebbe Chanina, Rebbe Chia, bahadi didi mitzvos. So Rebbe Chanina says to Rebbe Chia, how could you argue with me? Because the im chas v'shal nishach haTorah miYisrael. Because let's just imagine for a moment that we forgot all of Torah. So mehadran lemi pupulai, I would have brought it back. In other words, using my sharp analytical skills, so I would have reconstructed the Torah. Meaning that Right, this is a general idea behind Torah Shabbat Peh. I mean, Torah Shabbat Peh is a body of law. It's a Masori that was handed down from Moshe Rabbeinu, and also using the Yigamal Midah Shatari Dejeshes Behem, it could also be reconstructed and reformulated. So that's what Rabbi Chanina says. I could do that.
So why were 3,000 laws lost after Moshe died?
Well, yeah, I know. There's many general issues that need to be that need to be explored. But I'm just giving the very basics. So the So Rabbi Chia says back to Rabbi Chanina, look, you're talking about a doomsday scenario where Torah is forgotten and I could reconstruct it. Rabbi Chia says to Rabbi Chanina, look, don't argue with me. I'm going to make sure the Torah never gets forgotten. And how do I know that? So the Aisinu Kisna, because what I did is the following. So I brought in flax, Vishaydino Megadlana Nishbe, and using that flax I made traps, Vitsaidina Tavya, and with those traps I hunted deer, Omachalina Bisoliasme, and I took the meat of that deer and I fed it to the orphans, Verichna Megilta Mimashke de Tavya, and then from the deer that I shechted, so I took the hides of those deer, Usalikna Lamasa, and I went to the city, Delaisba Mikre Dardiki, that had no Mechanchim, Vikasvina Chamisha Chumshila Chamisha Yenuke, and I wrote out 5 Sifri Torah to 5 students, Umasnitsa Shisa Sidra Lashisa Yanuke, and the 6 Sidarma Mishayas to another 6 students, Chochavachad Amrilei, Asnisi Derech Lechavercha. So now each one was expected to master one of these and then teach. Good. So, best way to learn is to have to teach others. Vahainu Dame Rebbe, Kamagadola Maisachia. And Rebbe on this commented, this is unbelievable what Chia does. Right? And this Gemara is often quoted when you talk about the construction of the yeshiva and how everything has to be done from scratch, and you need to try to do as much as possible in terms of investing all efforts into the building of a yeshiva. Okay, so anyway, good. So this is once again just a good picture, a good description of Rabbi Chia, his performance of mitzvahs, how meticulous he was to the performance of mitzvahs. And so now this gives us another answer to the question of why wasn't Rabbi Chia appointed Rosh Yeshiva? Answer: because it would have detracted from him being involved in all these mitzvahs. So Amalei Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Afilu Mimcha. Now the statement of Rabbi regarding Rabbi Chia was the ma'isim of Rabbi Chia are unbelievable, and to quote him more literally, kama gedolim ma'isim Chia. Right? They're great. So Rabbi Shimon Rabbi turns to his father and says, greater than your deeds? Amalei in. So Rabbi said, yeah, absolutely. So it speaks to the anava, to the humility of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi afilo me'aba. Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi says, even greater than my father. And Amalei chas v'shalom lo te'kazos v'yisrael. No, not your father. Right? You will find this a number of times throughout the Gemara, that Rabbi Yossi was totally revered throughout the Gemara, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was asked the question, is Rabbi Chia greater than Rabbi Yossi? And Rabbi backed off at that point in time, and Rebbe said, no, not greater than me, yes. Greater than Rebbe Yossi, no such thing. Okay. The amount of reverence that Rebbe had towards Rebbe Yossi. Okay. Back to the Braisa. Amar lehen levni katan anitzarech. I need my youngest son. So nichnas Rebbe Shimon atzlo. So Rebbe Shimon comes in. Now you remember from the top of the Amud that Rebbe Shimon was the Chacham. So he was the wisest of the sons. He was not the oldest. And he was passed over in terms of being the Nasi. Now, when I say passed over, meaning he wasn't the oldest, but he was a Chacham. And so, by certain right, he should have become the Nasi. But the Gemara already explained why Gamliel got the tap to become the Nasi. So, in comes Rabbi Shimon, son of Rabbi, and Masalo Sidre Chachma. And so, he passes on to him Sidre Chachma. Sidre Chachma, now, obviously, he's already a Chacham. So, Sidre Chachma over here means I'm assuming how to behave, meaning as a chacham, how to conduct yourself as a chacham, could also mean some of the more esoteric parts of the Torah. He could have handed over to him. Amalem livni gadol neitzarech. Now he says, I need my oldest. Nechlan's Rabbi Gamliel slav. So his oldest son is Rabbi Gamliel. Umasalos sidre nesios. Okay, you're going to become the nasi. Here's how you're going to behave. Okay, and he told them how to conduct himself as a Nasi. And here the Gemara lets us in on two pieces of advice that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi gives over to Rabbi Gamliel as he's now going to become the Nasi. Number one, Nog Nasi Asacha Baramim. So when you lead amongst other people. Meaning, don't put yourself in an ivory tower, don't seclude yourself, do it together with other people, get input. Number one. Number two, Zorok Mara B'Talmidim. Also, instill fear in others. Meaning, don't be a buddy, don't be a friend. In other words, have a sense of awe and reverence about you as you are a leader. The Gemara points out, the Pasuk in Tehillim says that those who fear Kadosh Baruch Hu, you should honor. Va'amamar zeh Yehoshafa melech Yehuda. And the Gemara gives a description of Yehoshafa, one of the kings of Yehuda. Kishayiro tamachacham ayomen mikisom mechabko menashko v'korelo Rebbe Rebbe Mari Mari. And when Yehoshafa sees the tamachacham, so what does he do? This is the king of the Jewish people. So he jumps down and he goes over to him and he hugs him and he kisses the tamachacham and he says Rebbe Rebbe Mari Mari. And certainly seems to be a diminishment of his own Malucha. So Lokasha Abitsina Bafarhasi. But the Gemara says that's very simple. And the simplicity of the answer is privately he would hug and kiss the Talmud Chacham and express the greatest amount of respect and awe to the Talmud Chacham. Publicly, he would be stoic as the king of the Jewish people. Tanya Rabbi Muta b'Tzipori Makom Muchan Lo Bevesh Arim. So Rabbi was living in Tzipori. Tzipori, mentioned this already a number of times. Modern day is Hoshaya. Okay, you go to the town of Hoshaya. It's slightly to the west of Tveria. Slightly to the west of Tveria. So it's a small little town, beautiful little town. It's called Hoshaya. So that's Tzipori. That's where Rebbe lived. So Rebbe Mutab in Tzipori, Makom Muchan Lo Beveisha Arim, and he had a place set up for him in Beisha Arim. Vatanya, Tzedek Tirdof Halach Acha Rebbe LeBeisha Arim. Now the Gemara points out that, what do you mean he lived in Tzipori? We have a brisa that tells us that Rebbe lived in Beisha Arim. So, okay, some take out the next four words. Rebbe Beisha Arim Hava, Ela Kevin Dechalosh, Am Tui Lev Tzipori. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Rebbe, for the most part, lived in Beisha Arim. But then what happened was, as he got older and he got sick, so Tzipori was better. Why? The Midlaya, because Hoshaya is up in the mountains, it's a higher elevation. Ubasim Avira, it's got sweeter air. Okay, so, good, see him. I'm not really giving diagnosis over here, but you know, some sort of respiratory issue. Okay, needed the cleaner air. Okay, how are you, Madanach Nafshei the Rebbe? Okay, we're going to finish up and a couple more things that we're going to go through. We're on the top of Kufdal Amud Aleph. On the day of the death of Rebbe, Gazer Rabbanan Tanisa, so a fast was declared. Ubar Rachamei, and they were davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu v'Amrei. And the tefillah went as this: first of all, anyone who says that Rebbe is dead is going to be stabbed. In other words, they did not want Rebbe to die for reasons which the Gemara does not perfectly articulate. But it's understand just on the simplest level. In other words, just to have a Talmud Chacham and a Gadol B'Yisrael of that nature who is going to die. So the Gemara says that just the Chachamim at the time just had a. It was unbelievably difficult. Salika Amte de Rebbe Leigra Amra Yonim Vakshim as Rebbe. So the Amte de Rebbe, the maidservant of Rebbe, you will hear about her throughout Shas. She was a special woman. She was extraordinarily informed. She took care of Rebbe. And she goes up to the rooftop. Amra Yonim Vakshim as Rebbe Vatachtonim Vakshim as Rebbe. And she now is commenting on the tug of war that's existing right now for the life of Rebbe. The Elyonim want him, and Shemaim, they want him. And down here on earth, we want him as well. So her tefillah was, I want the people down here to win over, to win this tug of war over the Elyonim. But many times, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi was taking off his tefillin. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi was wearing his tefillin all day. But you're not allowed to wear your tefillin in the bathroom. So he had it, and repeatedly had to take off his tefillin because he constantly had to go to the bathroom. And he was in tremendous pain. So now Amte the Rebbe reversed her tefillah. And she said, so maybe a Kadosh Baruch Hu's will that the Elyonim defeat the Tachtonim. Now I want heaven to win this tug of war. But the rabbis kept davening for that Rebbe's life would continue. And it seems pretty clear from the Gemara that the tefillah of the Chachamim perpetuated the life of Rebbe. Milabai Racham Eshakla Kuza Shaja Me'igra. So, I'm sorry. Lo Havashalke Rabbanim Milabaye. So, and the rabbis wouldn't stop davening. Rachame. Shakla kuza, so she took a jug, shaja me'igra la'ara, she threw the jug from the rooftop down to the floor, and it created a tremendously loud sound on the ground, and it got the chachamim to stop davening. Ishtiku me rachame. So they stopped davening for the life of Rebbe, but nach nafshei the Rebbe, and as a result of that, Rebbe died. Amale Rabban Labar Kapara, I'm sorry. Pause over here for just a moment. So, Amtei the Rebbe caused the death of Rebbe. Now, I'm careful about how I say it, but in other words, in the context of the story, that's pretty much what happened. Meaning that he was on life support, not the modern life support, but he was on life support by the Chachamim, by the tefillos of the Chachamim. She understood that. She stopped them from davening, and therefore caused, right, you understand, caused the death of Rebbe. There's an important Ron. We're going to see it together in the Darim in a short month from now, a little bit more than that. The Ron in the Darim says that you learn something unbelievable from this Gemara, and that is that on occasion, it's okay to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for somebody to die. Meaning that when you see that they're really struggling at the end, so the Ron says that under those circumstances, you can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his life or her life be terminated. Okay. So right, so this Ron is a source of many a discussion in terms of end of life issues. I just bring it up briefly right now. Let's go back to the Gemara. Amalei Rabban Labar Kapar Zil Ayein. So the Chachamim said to Bar Kapara, go investigate. In other words, let's see what happened. In other words, they knew that because they stopped davening, so something must have happened, but they didn't know. So Azashkechei Denach Nafshei. So Bar Kapara goes in and he sees that Rebbe's in fact dead. Kare Lelevushe V'Adra L'Kare L'Achare. So he does Kriya, and then what he does is that he, and with our modern clothing, it's hard to imagine this, but he flips it to the back so that no one sees the torn clothing. Pasuk Va'amar Elam Amitzukim Achzu Ba'aron Hakodesh. So the heavenly hosts and the tzaddikim are all grabbing onto the Aron HaKodesh. He also is describing this tug of war. Nitzcho Arelim Asamitzukim. However, the heavenly bodies won, and they got Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. V'nishba Aron HaKodesh, and the Aron HaKodesh, that's a reference to Rebbe, the Aron HaKodesh was taken captive. Amalei Nach Nafshei. So, now as Bar Kapara comes out of the room, so they ask him, what happened? Well, like, what's the news? So, Amalehu, Asen Kamritza V'ana Lukamina. You said it, I didn't say it. He didn't want to articulate the words that Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi died. V'shapsir Sosha Rebbe Zakov Eser Esbasov Kape Mala. At the death of Rebbe, so he put his ten fingers up to heaven. Amar Ribono Shalom Golov Yehudu L'fanecha Shirati Beser Esbasai B'Torah. So you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that these 10 fingers of mine all were involved in the study of Torah. V'lo Ne'enesi Afilu Be'etzpa Ketana. And I didn't benefit even with one small finger. Yiratzom Fanecha Shei Shalom B'mnuchasi. And it should be that I have peace upon my rest. Yatza Basko V'amra Yavo Shalom Yenucha Amish Kavosam. And the pasuk, the Basko comes out and says that he should rest. Amishkevecha mi ba'elei. Now just grammatically, textually, it shouldn't be mishkevosam, it should be mishkevecha. On singular, on your bed. Meseila the Rabbi Chia Bagam the Damer Rabbi Chia Bagam the Damer Rabbi Yosi Ben Shal B'Shash Atzadik Nifter Man Olam when a tzaddik leaves this world. Omer Malach Hashar Sofnei Kosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim say the following. Ribon Shalom Tzaddik Ploni Ba. So the following tzaddik is coming. Omer Lam Yavo Tzaddikim V'Yatzal Krasso. So Kosh Baruch Hu says, okay. He tells the tzaddikim who are already in the Olam Ha'emes, okay, go greet him. Va'omrim lo yavo b'shalom yenucha mishkevosam. And now, even though he comes in by himself, but once he goes into the Olam Ha'emes, he's then greeted by a whole group of tzaddikim who then escort him into the Olam Ha'emes. And now you understand the end of the pasuk of yenuchu amishkevosam. Because it's a reference to all the tzaddikim who went to greet him. Amar Avalaz B'Shasha Tzaddik Niftar Malam Shalsh Kiso Shalmacha Sharis Yotzos Likraso. Three groups of tzaddikim. I'm sorry. Three groups of malachim come greet the tzaddik. Achas Amar Malam Bo B'Shalom. One says bo bishalom, the achasamrem holech nechachal, he walks straight, the achasamerslo yavo shalom yanucha mishkevosam. And the third group says, and now rest. Bishasha rushana van melam shash kisu shamalach echavala yotos the kraso. And when the Russia dies, so the following three groups come and greet him. Achas omerim ein shalom, you do not have peace. Amar Hashem l'rishayim va'achas omer slo l'ma'atzeva yishkav, he will be in a state of atzuv, sadness. Va'achas omerim lo redei v'ashkava es arelim, and you're going to lie together with the arelim, the uncircumcised, is the third group says to the Russia. Adkan Pira Social Rebbe, and tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Dalet.